Chapter 16, Circling Back. Stunned, Kylie sunk back into her chair. She remembered the man at the bait and tackle shop. Was it him? Well, based on how he'd come after her in his truck, he was definitely involved somehow. He could be Fox's killer, but Kylie had the impression that he worked for Fox, so it seemed more likely that it would have been someone else. Since Fox was killed shortly after her apartment had been ransacked, it now looked like there were several people involved. But who? Would whoever it was come after her, too? And why would they release a deadly virus? None of it made sense. Her stomach churned. Her omelet, that only a moment ago had seemed so appealing, well, now it looked like a slab of congealed yellow rubber. She couldn't eat it. "Did they find my laptop?" she asked. "I had to leave it at the beach house when I escaped." "I'll ask," Janice texted again. "Actually," said Kylie, opening an app on her phone, "come to think of it, I can find out where it is myself with an app." The app displayed red concentric circles radiating around the red dot in the center. Kylie was confused. She had left her laptop at Fox's beach house in Plum Island, about 50 miles away, but it clearly beaconed its location to be just 5 miles from where they were, in Kendall Square. She leaned in closer to make sure. "What's the matter?" asked Janice. "I think something's wrong with my app. It's saying that my laptop's in Kendall Square." "Oh, shit. We can't discount that someone took it there. It was most likely Fox's killer. Let me see." Janice held her hand out for the phone. Kylie plopped it into her palm. Janice enlarged the image and pointed. "Look! It's here on Main Street." Kylie looked again. A shock ran through her when she realized where the red circles were radiating from. "Oh, no! It's at Visiozyme. Fox was a board member there, and it's where Simon, a kid who was mixed up in all of this, used to work." Kylie bolted upright. "Duh! It's a biotech company. Who else could so easily design a biological weapon? I have no idea why they'd do that, but if they did, and if they have my laptop, they can also find my phone in our location, too." "Kylie, listen carefully. You have to turn off the app on your laptop immediately, and your phone, too. Then we're going to get rid of your phone," commanded Janice. "Let's just hope that whoever has your laptop hasn't already figured this out and is on their way over here." She pushed her chair back and went to the living room window and stood to the edge of the translucent white drapes where she could get a good view of the street. Kylie joined her on the other side, but only saw the cars of a few neighbors parked in a couple of driveways. Otherwise, the street lined with tiny bungalows looked quiet, devoid of people and cars. Janice speed dialed a number while Kylie turned off her app. "Stuart, there's a problem. Kylie located her laptop at Visiozyme through some app, and she's afraid they're going to be able to locate her." Janice clenched the phone to her ear and paced back into the kitchen as she listened. "Yes, I do," she said. Finally then added, "Yes, right now." Janice hung up and quickly set the plates in the sink, not bothering to rinse them. "Okay, get your things and hurry. We're going to another safe house." Kylie sprinted to her room and threw everything into her bag, leaving the packaging from her laptop on the chenille spread. Her hands felt clammy as she rushed towards the back door. Janice was already waiting in her parka and tossed Kylie her jacket. Within minutes, they were buckled in the Ford. Janice jerked the car into reverse and then sped down the empty back streets before reaching Arlington Center, which looked as calm as any normal Monday mid-afternoon. Kylie knew the town. It was just a couple of miles from where she'd grown up. She'd always loved its vibrant main drag, with a plethora of restaurants and mom-and-pop stores, but it now looked oddly foreign. She considered that to anyone who might notice them. She and Janice must appear like just two friends driving down the street, possibly going for coffee, certainly not like two terrified women running from a possible killer. She vowed never to assume things were as they appeared at first. If she couldn't trust her eyes anymore, was there anything that she could trust? Janice headed across Mass Ave onto Pleasant Street. Suddenly, she did a crazy swing of the steering wheel, swerving the car onto a side street, laying a small patch on the pavement. She sped up a hill, So much for looking like two friends leisurely going for coffee. What the hell was that? Asked Kylie, who braced herself against the car door. Janice watched her rearview mirror. Duck down! Someone's following us. She turned right at the top of the hill and floored the gas pedal. Hold on! Kylie slid down in her seat, but inched up enough so that she could see out the window as they flew by the old stately home surrounded by graceful trees. Janice swerved to take a sudden right, heading back down the hill to Pleasant Street. I don't see them, Janice reported, taking another look in the side mirror. We might have lost them. They were soon on Route 2, heading away from the city. Kylie sat up in her seat, her heart still beating hard. Janice glanced nervously at her rearview mirror as she sped up the highway, approaching Lexington. Change of plans. Better hold on. Janice veered into the right lane and exited a minute later to a long ramp, backed up with cars waiting for the light at the top. She swerved onto the shoulder, the gravel crackling against the car as she circumvented the line of cars. People honked and gestured with their middle fingers. Sorry about that, but they're back. I hate this freaking light, but I don't want to turn on a siren, Janice explained. It's the downside of using an unmarked car. Kylie had exited on that ramp hundreds of times. It was only blocks from her parents' house. Now she shrunk back down into her seat, bracing herself with her hands on her legs and her head down as if she were prepping for an airplane crash. She meditated on her knees, praying that her parents hadn't seen her face. It would be just her luck if they were in the line of cars coming home from somewhere and she and Janice had passed them in the lineup. She expected her mother to call her at any second. At the very top of the ramp, Janice cut in front of the other cars all the way from the shoulder and turned left on the overpass where she could see the traffic below. Sorry about this, but give me your phone, she said, holding out her hand. Ah, not again. Do you have to? The app is on my laptop, you know. This is kind of ridiculous, Kylie groaned. Unfortunately, yes. The phone has more tracking capabilities that make you findable, and we have to assume that they have the technology. Janice rolled down her window. I already turned the app off. Isn't that enough? Possibly, but we don't know what they have. Let's just be sure, okay? Kylie handed Janice her phone, and for the second time that day, she grimaced as she watched her phone fly out of a car, into the snow, onto the side of the road, this time to surely meet its death. Good girl, said Janice, scanning the highway below. That son of a bitch is following us. He just got off at the exit. Hold on tight. Janice floored the car, sped over the bridge, skidding down the ramp onto Route 2, heading back towards town. Janice punched a key on her phone that was mounted on the dashboard. Hey, it's Janice. We're heading east on Route 2 from Lexington, and we're being followed. A slight change in plans. I'm taking her to Location 3. Can we get some backup there? Her voice sounded calm, as if it were just ho-hum, yawn, just another typical day at work. It had no correlation to Kylie's anxiety, which was off the charts. Open-mouthed, Kylie regarded Janice as if she were from Mars. You got it, a woman answered. Well, Janice sped towards the end of Route 2 and stopped at a light to turn onto Fresh Pond and glanced over at Kylie. I think we're okay, but probably not for long. Just then, an SUV came up inches from Janice's rear bumper. Get down! Janice screamed. She checked her side mirror and veered around the cars waiting at the light onto Fresh Pond. The SUV followed by attempting to drive onto the median strip, but without much luck. It was struck broadside on the driver's side by a Toyota that couldn't stop in time. The crash made a terrible explosive sound. I need to get you out of here, said Janice. She called in the accident as she sped up towards the MBTA station. Kylie put her hand over the African drum circle beating inside her chest. She could hardly breathe. You okay? Asked Janice, checking her out when she stopped at a light. No, said Kylie, needing some air. A headache rooted in her forehead and began shooting branches into her temples. She silently unbuckled her seatbelt before the light changed. Janice, nothing personal, but I honestly don't think I'm any safer with you than on my own. Thanks for everything, though. I mean, really, you're a hell of a driver. Plus, you make an excellent omelet. Before Janice could stop her, Kylie grabbed her bag, opened the door, and hopped out. "Hope to see you again sometime, really. I do mean that. You're the best fake friend that I've ever had." Janice didn't look amused. She looked as if she was considering reaching for her gun, but instead tried reason. "Kylie, don't do this. You're making a big mistake. On your own, you're totally unprotected. Helpless, really. Look what happened to you this morning. You saw how we were being followed. Do you think that they're just going to forget about you? It doesn't matter if they can't find me, and trust me, they are not going to find me. I'll check in, I promise. They think I'm with you. And we have this chase thing going on, so whoever it is will be looking for your car, not me lost in Boston somewhere on my own. I think it's best for me just to disappear. Don't worry. I survived this morning, didn't I? I'll be fine." Janice's blue eyes pleaded, "Kylie, wait. Listen to me. You're in danger. You're being pretty naive if you think you can fight this by yourself. I can keep you safe." She checked the rearview mirror as she talked. "They could exit and pull up behind us any second. I'll take my chances. Look, the person I trust most is myself, and I know that I'll be fine. I should go now." "Where are you headed?" The faint lines on Janice's forehead arched. Kylie shrugged. "I'm not sure. As soon as you get there, promise me that you'll call Stuart." Janice shook her head with exasperation. "All right, go. But hurry up and disappear. You're out in the open here." "I don't like this at all." Kylie closed the door and shouted over her shoulder as she fled. "You got it. I promise I'll check in." She ran towards Alewife Station, where she could pick up the red line into town. On top of already feeling traumatized by everything that had gone on what she was sure was the worst day of her life, Janice had frightened her even more. Although she tried not to turn all the way around, she shot nervous looks over her shoulder just to make sure it was clear. She trotted to the station, where she ducked into the first door she could find. In 2 hours, the nearly empty MBTA station would be full of rush hour traffic, but now Kylie thought the glass structure looked like an abandoned space station. Slowly, her stomach muscles unclenched, and her breathing returned to normal, but she still felt shaky. She eyed some food vendors for the first order of business. She hoped food would help her headache and her growling stomach. She bought a bagel sandwich at Dunkin' Donuts, planning to eat it on the train, but devoured it on the platform, as she nervously watched for trouble until her train arrived moments later. She texted her whereabouts to Stuart on the ride to Downtown Crossing, where she climbed the steep steps to Washington Street. "On my way into Boston on the Red Line." She headed past the shops to a Staples, a short walk from Reinstadt's office, and where she had taken care of her first order of business. With a new disposable phone in her bag, she marched up State Street to his building. The battleship Gray Sky was already slipping into an early November sunset as she entered the marble and gilt lobby. She rode the elevator to the 15th floor. "May I help you?" asked Reinstadt's receptionist. She was a plump woman in her mid-30s, with an apparent case of amnesia who didn't appear to recall Kylie from that morning. "I'm Kylie Maynard. I need to talk to Bill Reinstadt for a minute. Is he in?" She squinted at Kylie's two-toned hair and duffel bag. "What's this about?" "He'll know. Is he here?" She lowered her eyes. "I'm not sure. Why don't you have a seat and I'll check?" Kylie dutifully sat on one of the upholstered chairs at the other end of the room and watched the receptionist sigh as if her workload was insurmountable and Kylie had put her out. Then she resumed her work on her computer. She texted Stuart in Reinstadt's waiting room. After 5 maddening minutes that Kylie spent staring hard enough to burn holes in the receptionist's mouse pad, she cursed silently. She headed up to her desk. "Idiot. Excuse me, but this is time-sensitive." Kylie leaned her hands on the desk. "In fact, I probably should have told you, but it's an emergency." "As I said, I'm not sure that he's here." Kylie gave her a pained smile. "Would you please check?" "I will, as soon as you go sit down." She pointed a long red fingernail to the other side of the room. Kylie crossed her arms around her waist and glared at her. "I won't sit down until you call him." She heard the rising irritation in her words. After years of watching her mother, an expert role model, for being commanding, the lessons kicked in. Kylie figured that after the day she had had, she deserved respect, if not a little kindness. If the receptionist didn't do something any minute, she might lose it and start yelling. She'd hardly be to blame. She eyed the door which led to the offices and considered storming it, but the receptionist shook her head with exasperation and picked up the phone. "I have a Kylie Maynard here to see you." She said, "Okay, sure, I'll tell her." She hung up and beamed pleasantly. If Kylie had suddenly transformed into Julia Roberts. "You can go in the conference room now." She pointed her red fingertip again and then returned her gaze to her computer screen. Kylie looked over her shoulder as she walked past, getting a glimpse of the spike-heeled shoes that the receptionist was purchasing on some website. Kylie pulled out a chair and sat at the conference table. She removed her new phone from her bag, but before she had time to play with it, Reinstadt hurried in the room like a wind gust, sat down next to her. She was close enough to feel his special brand of magical Reinstadt energy vibrating off of him.
"Good God, Kylie! What happened? Are you all right?"
"Yes, I'm fine." Suddenly the sun had come out. "Did you hear about everything else that's gone on today?"
"Illuminate me."
Kylie recanted everything that had happened since that morning. He slowly shook his head from side to side and finally responded,
"I did hear that. Stuart's been keeping me apprised. What I don't understand, however, is why you left Janice. You're lucky that you're not in custody. She was assigned to keep you safe."
His eyes narrowed into slits as Reinstadt swiveled his chair to look at her. "I know, but I didn't feel safe with her. She's only a little bit older than me, and she hasn't been an agent very long, so what's the point? Just because she carries a gun doesn't mean that I'm going to be safer with her. I think I can do more good if I'm on my own. I'll be fine. Look at everything that already happened, and I lived through it. I'm sure that the worst is over. You know that Fox is dead, right?"
"Kylie, you have illusions of grandeur, and you rationalize everything. I realize we don't know the full extent of this yet, but it's not your job. You're a civilian, and you should be protected. Janice is a trained agent."
"Oh, that reminds me." She texted Stuart. "I'm in Reinstadt's office." Then Kylie shrugged and changed the subject. "Has the FBI found out any more about the Lily virus?"
"They sent a team down to Chinatown this morning and found the lab. It was the whole deal. Microscopes, centrifuges, lots of beakers and test tubes and an empty tabletop refrigerator with the doors swung wide open. Everything was wiped clean. If there's a virus, it's now out there somewhere, and we don't know where, who has it, or why anyone would want to do this."
"Oh, my God," said Kylie.
Reinstadt laughed ironically. "That's what I was thinking. Do you have access to your program?"
Kylie pulled the thumb drive from her purse.
Ta-da!
But her voice held the fear of what she might find instead of triumph.